Hi, this is John Barnes, and you're listening to Cop On.
Whoa. We are live. We're live on YouTube, and we are not live in your ears if you're listening, you know, wherever you are, whoever you are, across this fine, if slightly damaged, planet. But it's not all bad news, because I'm with John Gibbons, Liverpool legend. John, welcome back to Cop On. It's been ages. How are you doing? Well, hang on. First question, actually, because I was stalking your Twitter, and you were at the Cup Final the other day.
Yeah, I mean, what a fantastic day! It's always nice, isn't it, to see your team win trophies and to you know, have these days out, and you know, very lucky to get a ticket and to go down the night before do the event we did in Box Park, Wembley, and then. And then from there, you know, wake up in London. It was a couple of miles away, so I could pretty much see Wembley Arch from the hotel, which was really nice and exciting. And then get down there, enjoy the atmosphere, enjoy people coming in and meeting people, you see people you know. But then the main thing is that you do want to win. And those players put in everything, didn't they? You are so proud to support them, because they give everything that they can for this team. And yeah, another trophy for Jurgen Klopp.
I'm interested in where it ranks in terms of, I mean, you said you're lucky enough to get tickets. I don't know how many finals you've been to, but I mean, where does that rank in terms of all the finals that you've seen Liverpool lift some glorious pots?
I think I worked out on my way down there that this is my 17th final in person. Wow. So that's not bad. I've not done them all sort of in my lifetime. There was one or two I missed for sort of, you know, various reasons, really. But I've done everyone on the Jurgen. And yeah, it was a fantastic one, because I think, you know, the obviously we were up against it with the injuries and stuff like that, and then extra injuries in the team. And by the end, you know, when he's throwing on these kids, really, and asking them to step up and do a job in a final, is unbelievable, really. And so, you know, once he sort of got to that stage and then we got to penalties, I thought, is this going to be, you know, a little bit too much for these young players, you know, to ask for them? But then Big Virgil sort of stepped up just when you think it's going to be another penalty shootout. Big Virgil did that. And as a celebration, it was kind of something else, maybe up there with the Divock Origi one in Madrid in terms of that feeling of celebration. I mean, listen, the Champions League is a bigger trophy, isn't it, as is the league. But, you know, that feeling of euphoria to win a game so late, especially when you're up against it like Liverpool, where is hard to kind of describe, really. But we all know that feeling, because we felt it on Sunday.
It's beautiful, isn't it? Especially, you know, at our age, and you know, and I'm sure there are lots of people listening who've been following the Reds for even longer, as well as people have been following the Reds for shorter. But sort of at our age, where we've been following this sort of story for so many years, and the ups and the downs and the complexities and the nuances and the subtleties, and then you just get something that's just glorious, everything that comes together, because we know we followed Virgil's history, and then, you know, the new boys creating their own stories, the start of Jadon Dams's career, you know, played half a game and got a trophy, pretty special. So yeah, brilliant. But I want to know one more question about that cup final, because speaking of like limiters on microphones and stuff on TV, obviously they've got very special microphones, and they drown out the noise, and they try to make it equal if it's at Wembley, when it's, you know, 50-50 capacity between Chelsea fans and Liverpool fans. But people who were there said that the alle, alle, alle towards the end of extra time was like the loudest they've ever known Wembley. I mean, what was that like to be, you know, firstly, how did it come about? It was like spontaneous, right? People were just, everybody just got the impression that, okay, we need to help these kids out.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what it was. And listen, all crowds, you know, behave in a spontaneous way, don't they? And songs just kind of start and either spread or don't, really. And I thought the atmosphere generally was good. I think people were trying to sort of get behind the team and be positive and you know, get the songs going to make the team feel like we were there with them, really. But that moment that you've identified, you know, was a really special one, and I haven't, you know, known as many quite like that, to be in a ground where you just, I think Liverpool as a football club and certainly as a fan base are at our best when we're defiant, and when we're showing defiance really. And also, I think it is a crowd, and there's a lot of debate about atmosphere and, you know, is the atmosphere in Anfield as good as it used to be and stuff like that. And I feel like it's a little bit overblown, to be honest with you. I've always felt that for Liverpool, you know, as a supporter base, that we know when we need to step up. And, you know, we might not be singing songs for 90 minutes or all the time on every game, or doing these choreographed routines like you sometimes see in Europe. But what I think we are is an emotional fan base, and what we are is a reactive fan base, and we react to what's going on the pitch. And when the team need us, and especially when they've put everything in, like they had in that game, like some of the guys who'd started, they were still on. They just looked absolutely knackered. But I think that was our way of just trying to give them a little bit more energy, really. And so I think it was, you know, it was defiance, it was support, but it was also trying to get a bit more breath in their lungs and sort of energy in their legs, because they looked like they needed it. And so if they were powered on by LA, then fantastic, because that means that the fans in the crowd did their job that day, and, you know, we hopefully, you know, helped them towards a famous victory.
It certainly seemed that way. Lucho Diaz reminded me of the Black Knight in Monty Python, you know, after his legs have been cut off and all that, and saying, come here, I'll bite your kneecaps off, remaining defiant. And it was beautiful. It was beautiful to see. Anyway, I asked you today for this special, and sorry for the YouTube viewers, I've just switched the volume on because I'm not very organized with these kinds of things. So if you're still with us on YouTube, thank you. But I asked you on, John, to talk about, because I've been very inspired, to be honest, by seeing that you've been running, you've been doing this run. Tell us about this running thing that you've got going on.
Yeah, I mean, I've done little bits of running in the past, although not a huge amount. And sort of felt like everybody days are maybe behind me now. I'm at the grand old age of 41. Am I 42 soon? And so, but there's an organization called Zoe's Place in Liverpool, which is an amazing charity. It's a hospice, and it specializes, well, it focuses on very young children, so ages 0 to 5. And for a lot of these children, they need very special care, a very specific care. And so it takes them for a couple of days a week and provides this care, but also a bit of respite for the families, because, you know, as I say, a lot of these children do need very specialist care. And for, you know, I spoke to a couple of the parents, and they've got other children, but so much of their life is focused around, you know, maybe one child who really needs, you know, round the clock support. So it's a bit of a respite for everyone. It's a fantastic centre. They do amazing work, and their home is under threat, and, well, they're losing it. They're losing their home next year. And if they don't raise £3.5 million, then they won't be able to carry on. And that'd be heartbreaking and such a shame for the city, and for obviously for certainly for the families who rely so much on these services that Zoe's Place provide. And so when I heard about this, I thought, well, let's see if I can help, or let's see if the Anfield app, you know, listeners or the Liverpool community, if you like, can sort of step up. And so me and my sister are doing a half marathon. It's on the 17th of March, which just so happens to be my birthday as well. So I think I get extra bonus points for that.
Absolutely. Happy birthday, St. Paddy's Day.
Exactly. And so it's currently the day of the Merseyside Derby, although if Liverpool beat Southampton tomorrow, then it'll be an FA Cup weekend instead. But if they go out, then it'll be the Merseyside Derby day. So it's a big day sort of in the city. But yeah, but I wanted to do a bit of a challenge, and it's been I've felt it every year of my 41 when I've been doing the training, to be honest with you. I have sort of, you know, got up to a good amount now, over 7.5 miles I've been doing. So I feel like I'm getting there, but it's been I've felt my age doing it, but that's fine. You know what I mean? I'm quite happy to put myself out for a few weeks to help this amazing charity. And so I am tweeting about it regularly. If people, you know, want to have a little look and feel like that they can donate, then that'd be amazing.
Absolutely. And everybody listening to this and watching this on YouTube as well, I put a link to the Just Giving page in the description of both. So wherever you're consuming this content, if you want to phrase it that way, whenever, I hope that you're enjoying this chat, I'd rather phrase it like that. If you are, then, you know, and if you do have a spare, whatever it is, a fiver, a tenner, you know, whatever, 20p, then everything helps, really. So just go to the Just Giving page, because I mean it's extraordinary, you know, stepping away from football. I mean, talking about, you know, things that are way more important than that. You know, I became a dad last year, and, you know, the idea of, like, you know, any child needing hospice care and palliative care, end of life care, that kind of thing is just, I mean, it's just incredibly tough thought even to have, you know, so to these families living through it, and the fact that there are organizations set up in Liverpool and around the world to help the families and help the kids involved, it's just you know, it's testament to the human spirit, really, isn't it? I mean, you know, so, you know, well done, and it's and well done to everybody involved in all of that thing, and you know, for, you know, I made a donation this morning, very happy to give, and I hope that other people are who are listening to this or watching this. So I've got a couple of questions from some Cop-On regulars who are often guests, people like Doug. A couple of questions. Doug from the Dugout YouTube channel. Doug wants a question. I don't know if you know, Doug was on Sky Sports, as you were, talking about Sven coming to manage the Legends game. Because as far as I know, and I think this is true, it was Doug who put on Twitter first, even though I'm sure other people would have had the same idea, why not get Sven to manage the team when the bad news came about his need for, you know, palliative care, you know, and these kind of, you know, his terminal diagnosis, which is very heartbreaking. But, you know, so Doug was saying, basically, his question is, how did it feel to go on Sky News and chat about Sven managing the Legends?
Yeah, and it just felt like, to me, like it was a good thing that the club could do if they could. And I wasn't trying necessarily, and I'm sure Doug wasn't necessarily, to put pressure on sort of anything like that, because obviously these things take organisation, and we were completely clear if Sven was sort of up for it, both, you know, medically, but also sort of generally. But it just felt to me like it will be a nice thing to sort of happen if it can, really. And obviously all those circumstances had to sort of come together, but then it looks like it has, and there's going to be a managerial team. I think that is to lighten the load on Sven, which is good, because you just want him to enjoy it, don't you? But he'll have that moment, and he'll have that moment, you know, sat in the dugout, and, you know, I'm sure he'd be daydreaming about what it might be, you know, like to do a Champions League night or something like that. This obviously won't quite be there, but the atmosphere of these Legends games are really good. The atmosphere, you know, tends to be, you know, there's a lot more families and kind of things like that, and people who maybe haven't always got the opportunity to come to Anfield can go to these Legends game. It's against Ajax, which is obviously a huge European team as well. So I'm sure everyone involved will enjoy it. And hopefully Sven, you know, has a brilliant time and he enjoys it. And I think it reflects well on the club that they've managed to make it happen, because, as I say, it's never quite as easy as, you know, me and Doug sometimes make out. Not just, you know, you go, oh, yeah, just quite easy. It hasn't happened, and goes to everyone who organises this game to make that happen.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's great. It's a really good idea getting a management team in, and as you say, lightening the load. And yeah, I mean, it's just great that it's finally, you know, it's all coming together, and that's wonderful. Very positive. Question from Nigel at IrishRed11 on Twitter, and he says, basically, with the evolution of these kids that came on in the final, and maybe others that didn't come on, like Jason Kumares and Trainioni, he asks, like, how much money are they going to spend? Are they going to save us this summer? Which, you know, another way of asking it is, like, how many of these will actually stay and be able to cement a place, if not in the first 11, then in the squad?
Yeah, it's a really good question, and time will only really tell on that. I mean, it looks like there's a few of them who are, you know, stepping up now and are very much seen as first team players. You know, the likes of Connor Bradley, who in the summer, I don't think, you know, people would have been too sure either way whether he was going to have a Liverpool career. He'd done well at loan, but it was, you know, League One football. And so I think it was fairly open, you know, for him, similar for Kwanzaa, who'd also had a good loan, but it wasn't, you know, completely clear, you know, how he would do in the Liverpool first team. And those players have grabbed those opportunities and look like they're going to be first team players moving forward based on the performances and based on how they've played. For the others, you know, you mentioned before, Jaden Danz, it's less than half a game, isn't it? So it's hard to kind of draw too many firm conclusions on his future. But what I would say is they look like they've got a lot of quality. They look like they've got a belief, but also a lot of credit goes to the manager and the belief he puts in them, because I think that must help so much in terms of their confidence. And whenever these lads have come onto the pitch, they've looked like that they felt that they belong there. And I think that's a credit to the coaching that they've had, and also to a manager who just says, just go on and enjoy yourself and express yourself. And so for me, I think they're a football club that will give them every chance of succeeding. And I think that's all as a young player that you can ask for, really. I think, you know, we've seen times at this club and also certainly at other ones where it feels like your pathway is blocked a little bit, or you can get to a certain point, but then it's hard. But I think we have got a manager who will give you chances, and it's quite happy, even in a final, to kind of give lads a go. And I think, you know, for young players, I saw Lee Clark's done quite a lot of interviews in the last few days about his son. And, you know, for him, he'll know how difficult it is to break through it at any team, never mind a club like Liverpool. But he just seemed, you know, obviously so proud of his lad, Bobby, but also, you know, he'll know that having a manager who'll take a chance on a young player isn't always sort of guaranteed. And so a lot of credit to a lot of people at the club, but, you know, mainly the lads themselves, because it's them who've stepped up and they've delivered on the bigger stage, and it's wonderful to see.
I agree, though. It does come from the manager, which brings me to my final question. Of course, the obvious one. I mean, Jürgen's leaving. Have you got any ideas of who you would like? Because I've got two answers in my head. I want Amorim, if you look at the data. But then my heart's obviously with Xabi. Seeing his, I don't know, he's just sort of swarthy, suave kind of gentleman, isn't he? Seeing him in the dugout, you know, looking cool, and seeing, you know, Liverpool team destroying other teams, that would be great. But I don't know, how do you feel about it?
Yeah, I think I'm fairly cemented on with the Xabi Alonso. I think it does take a certain type of personality to manage this football club, and I think Xabi's got that. You know, you talked about it there, the star quality, that the X factor that he has sort of as a person, really. Obviously, we've already got the connection with him, and so that helps as well. He feels like he's got a bit of a head start than anyone else. But I think, you know, there are other good managers out there, and I think if Xabi doesn't happen, then that's not to say that everything's sort of the end of the world. But I think he's the one for me. He looks like the standout, just because of what he's already achieved in the game as a manager, but also kind of as a player, really. He understands football at the very top level, and he's played in it, and he's won the biggest trophies that there are to win, and he's taken that into his managerial career and you know, being absolutely fantastic. And so I feel like he's the one. I think, like, the club will probably agree. But like you say, there are other good candidates out there if Xabi, for whatever reason, decides, you know, he'd like to do a bit longer in Germany.
I mean, you know, maybe he's got a Harry Kane tattoo. I don't know. but thank you very much, John. I understand you've got a chip off. You're a busy man. You've got loads of things to do. Thank you so much for joining us. Real pleasure. And, you know, all the best, you know, good luck. And to everybody also listening and watching, go and subscribe to the Anfield Wrap, where you can hear John very regularly doing, you know, marvellous, marvellous content. I love what the Anfield Wrap does. So thank you very much, and hopefully speak to you soon.
Cheers. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you. Bye-bye.